Hi, I'm Favi Fav.
And I'm Maite.
I'm Eva.
And we are Latinos Who Lunch.
The podcast where we talk about important things like...
Oh, what the heck? Hello, hello, hello.
What's happening?
K-show.
Oh my goodness, what a beautiful cast here on Latinos Who Lunch today. Three fat,
bitchy,
proud, and Latinx people. How are y'all doing today?
Good.
Come on, I need more.
I was feeling all right.
I'm going to need a little more energy.
It's a weird time. It's a lot of emotions right now. So I'm like in a constant roller coaster is how my actual feelings are.
You know what? I feel like we need to get into it right now because when's the last time we recorded this? Last fall we did. Okay, so before we get into it, Eva, Maite, and I, we have done these episodes called So Fat, So Brave, based on a hashtag that Nicole Byer, shout out to Nicole Byer, that she talks about a lot when she decided to start wearing bikinis and people would call her brave for just existing in a fat body and wearing whatever she wanted, which is crazy that you would call somebody brave.
It's a real ass thing.
Mm-hmm. Like, wow, you're so brave. And so we do these episodes, and I know the loyal listeners already know there's been a couple of them, where we break down media and fat representation and fat phobia within the media. So we usually talk about film, TV, and this time we're adding social media to the mix because there's a lot of body positivity, social media now, podcasts, things like that. So we're going to get into it. But before, let's talk about what we've been doing during this wonderful worldwide pandemic.
I hate you.
Oh, gosh. I will say I feel like I'm a lot closer to you two because of it. I feel like I see you more often than my own family through FaceTime.
Yes.
So that's been the positive. The negative is I can't believe we are living in this world and this is actually happening.
And how quickly it went to shit. Yeah.
Doesn't take long in the US of A. Yeah, no, it's... What was your question? I think I already got distracted by your beautiful
How you been
face.
Doing, Eva? Give us some updates since we last spoke to you.
Girl,
in the fall.
I don't know if you want to open this tin because...
Come on!
I haven't even recorded my show, De Colores Radio, since right before this started. So I have literally been just making it, basically. And it's been... nice to get closer to you and, like, you know, talk to certain people more that I haven't talked to in, like, months and some people even years. But at the same time, we are in the midst of, I say, pandemics, right? Because it's not just COVID-19. Now we're in, like, a necessary racial uprising as well. And it almost feels like we're also having, like, battles internally because of all these circumstances. So it's been really, really heavy to say it nicely. But I've also been amazed by my strength, which I never realized. And I've made a lot of big changes, in my own personal life. So it's really given me time to sit with myself. And so I see, like, the flaws and the beauty in who I am. And then I obviously see that in all my loved ones and people around me as well, because we're so grateful for everything we do have in these moments. So it's kind of a back and forth feeling, which is kind of what I said earlier. But there's definitely been a lot of fat phobia at this time as well. And so it's been really interesting to just kind of observe and also try to be mindful of my energy while I navigate this present world.
Yeah. Maite, I know that a couple of weeks back, there was a little bit of a scare. One of your roommates had COVID, and I was really worried about you for a minute there.
Yeah, They both did, actually. They both eventually got...
Oh, Lord.
The Ronies.
Not the Ronies. Chicharronies.
The West Los Angeles treat. Hey.
No.
Ching. I was convinced that I was going to get it. Like, I was like, there's no way that we weren't because of, you know, us inhabiting a close space. And I chose the perfect time to get to know and get closer to my roommates right before that. So it was a bit scary. I was like home for so long, boxed into these four walls instead of, you know, just my apartment. Like, it was literally just my room for the most part. It really sucked. I hated it. I still hate it. You know, I'm still pretty much quarantined. Yeah, I'm just really grateful that I didn't get it because literally, like, it's bad. Like, one day you're good, one day you're bad. Like, one of my roommates had to go to the ER because she couldn't breathe. Like, this shit isn't funny. And then, like, when that $6,000 bill comes through, like, you're going to be extra regretful. Like, it's not cute. So, yeah, it's the last... It was, like, yeah, like, a week or so ago that I went and got tested and I got a negative back, so... I'm pretty stoked on that.
And you were just, like, masking and gloving, or how are you protecting yourself inside the house?
Well, I mean, we were all kind of cleaning up after ourselves, as you should as a human being, you know? And I was just trying to stay... Like, obviously, I still had to, we all had to use the kitchen space, so there was that. But, yeah, it was just as much as I could. Like I said, I was convinced that I was going to get it, but I just kind of stayed away from them. Like, we were never really, like, in close quarters for, like, the first couple weeks of it.
And how did that affect your podcast? You've been recording remotely for a while, right? So CYC just kept going?
Yeah, exactly. In fact, it's kind of been the opposite, where because before everything, I was a gig worker. So I was working all kinds of shit. And here in LA, the industry has shut down, so I haven't been able to do any of that stuff. And so, like, yeah, it's just been different. What was the question again?
CYC that you keep recording.
CYC, that's right.
We
just kind of kept going because I didn't have much else to do. I was like one of those people who like lost all their daily activities. The first couple months or a month and a half or so, I went to Texas. I was in Texas at my mom's. And I wrote, like, that was the most productive time that I had in all of this quarantine. Like, I wrote a feature script because I finally wanted to get into my fat feelings. And that was an amazing feeling to finish such a long project. But then after that, everything went to shit again. So.
Yep. I think, I started watching Survivor. So, I feel very accomplished. I'm on Season 8 All-Stars
Holy
now.
Holy shit, you're really in there. That was Reba, fast.
That Reba inspired you.
Reba? Oh, I'm a survivor.
I was like, I'm missing something. Was she on a season? But you know what I was going to say before you said that is that this is really survival mode for us, right? Like, we haven't experienced that. So I'm having to constantly tell myself, like, this is not normal. Like, this is not how we're supposed to be functioning as humans, but it's teaching us so much if we allow it to. But, like, you know, that's interesting that you were so productive, Maite, while at home. And then where you were in the place where those dreams are made, you're not as productive, right? And so it's also telling of, like, our environment and everything else as well. And so, yeah, it's definitely been rough. There have been beautiful moments, but none of this is supposed to feel really grand. And it's okay to, you know, validate your own feelings and that this is really unheard of.
Yes. Okay. Now that we've got that out of the way.
That shit.
Wait, you didn't tell us about what you've been doing.
Yeah.
Girl, everybody on this damn show knows what I'm doing. Nothing. Okay, so.
Really? While you have egg cartons behind you?
Oh my gosh. Well, I have a new studio. I built a recording studio with all these egg cartons in them. I'm living my podcaster fantasy. AKA I have two podcasts and I record in my studio like 3 times a week. And so I just needed something with less echo. So that's that. But yeah, I've been in Las Vegas and just trying to figure out this new life. Like you said, Eva, it's what the scariest thing to me is that this is becoming normal. Like we're all learning how to function like in this really weird dystopia that we're in where people think this is a conspiracy. Other people are like spraying people down with sanitizer. So it's like, where are we?
And then other people are spraying people down with tear gas. So there's lots of layers there.
There's so many layers to this. I've been trying to be more politically active and be here for my community. And it's just heartbreaking because, you know, all those bitter activist friends that I have, like, I totally feel their pain now because nobody wants to do anything. It's just easier to be ignorant and quiet
than to actually. It's also so draining. Like, it is taxing.
I am so fucking drained. I feel like I've been run over by a car. That's how I feel.
I didn't mean to laugh, but I get you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, so I just like every step I take, I'm like, oh, it's like so fucking heavy right now. And it's a lot of it is psychological. It's not physical, you know? So mental health is very important. But also physical health, of course. And also, you know, nourishing your body with food. And since we are Latinos who lunch, let's get into these quarantina recipes. Because, first of all, Eva cooks down, even though she's never cooked for me.
You're here for 5 minutes every time you come to Dallas.
I let you know when I'm coming, so I don't understand.
And then he has to work at a mall from 12 a.m. until 12 p.m. And then he's like, why didn't you cook for me? And I'm like, where, girl? At the fucking Panda Express inside the mall?
Oh, God. I cannot believe you.
Anyways. So,
and then I know that, Maite, you've been on a vegetarian journey, right? Or vegan. Are you full tilt vegan?
No, I'm mostly vegetarian.
Yeah.
But I do eat a lot of vegan food, but I also sometimes have like shrimp, you know?
Same.
It's been cool though. It's been like interesting because I would have never expected my like food habits to be where they're at right now, you know? Because like I'm a lot like more conscious about what I eat simply because I'm trying to avoid meat. And then, it's just, and then plus now me and my roommates are home all the time, so it's like who's using the kitchen when and making a mess, you know what I mean? Like, so it's just been like a very conscious thing. And then it got to a point, I remember, I don't know if you guys got to this point, but I got to a point where I was just like, damn, we gotta eat every day, like we gotta make food and decide what we're gonna eat every day. I got so tired of it.
Oh.
I was so fucking tired of it.
Interesting.
Okay, I can totally relate to that because I'm in the studio and it's like I don't want to spend money, so I'm bringing food from home. And, like, I just needed to pick some stuff up quick. So I got, like, some bread, peanut butter jelly, some almonds, you know, like snack food. And I'm like, I'm tired of eating snack food for lunch every day. And so recently what I started doing, which is, like, I think going to be my routine, is in the morning I have, like, some sort of oatmeal with fruit. And then because that's so filling. And then I make burritos for the week, and then I just like
you
put them in the fridge.
You do not meal prep burritos, you fucking Latino.
Burritos with the giant ass tortillas that are like bigger than your goddamn soul.
Oh.
And it's so I have like 4 burritos in the fridge, so there's 4 meals, and so I know I can count on 4 meals.
Wow.
You know, so the ones that are in the fridge right now are rice, beans that I made, homemade. My roommate made salsa, so her homemade salsa. And my grandma brought cheese and machaca from Mexico, so I mixed it in there.
Girl.
Vegan, of course.
All vegan.
And so all vegan all the time. And so that's what I've been eating. Those burritos are delicious. So you, but what are some...
Sorry, I was going to ask, do you do the same burrito all week?
I just make like five at a time. Okay. So then when... And then like halfway through, I'll make a different version. So then I'll have like two different kinds, gotcha. You know?
Okay.
But I'm just trying to... Honestly, you know what I want to do? I have the Chicano Eats cookbook.
Yes.
So I want to go every, I think what I'm going to do is like every weekend, I'm going to make one of the recipes with my mom. And then aww. That leftovers from the recipe can be like,
the burrito
I'll make
filling.
A lot of it so I can eat it for that week and then make burritos and stuff. Yeah. So I'm going to start from the beginning and make the salsas first and then get into the yeah. dishes. Tell me about some of the foods that you get that y'all are eating. Eva, what do you enjoy cooking the most?
Ooh, I don't know about the most. It's been I don't know how deep y'all want to get into this food combo, but I've been craving a lot of things from my childhood at this time, which definitely tells me that this is trauma. Because I'm like, why am I craving Long John Silver's that I used to eat during Lent? I have not wanted that in over 10 years. But I am currently craving that. So I've been trying to cook most of my cravings, but I definitely still allow myself to like order in, which I never used to do. Or like obviously go pick something up in a safe manner. But like food has been one of the few joys that I have left. I know that sounds super morbid, but even my skinny friends have been saying the same thing. And there was like maybe one week, might they, where I was like, actually, I hate everything. I'm not craving anything. I don't want anything. But for the most part, it's been like, wow, I can order chicken tikka masala today. I am blessed, right? And so then I get joy that evening from like chicken tikka masala. But I also like I've been exploring. I made like vegan queso a couple times. That was really yummy. I made flautas the other day. I make anything I'm craving and I just experiment and have fun with it. So I know that's why Favi gets mad at me because he's like, why are you doing this? And I'm like, I'm hungry, bitch. Like, I'm just trying to eat. And I'm like, if this is gonna be such a rough moment, at least I should enjoy what I'm eating. And cooking for me is kind of therapeutic. I like seeing the end result and then I freeze it like a grandma. So yeah, food has been really interesting. But yeah, I've tried all different things. I tried orange chicken. I tried chicken and gnocchi soup. Olive Garden style, of course, because what other chicken gnocchi would you do? but yeah, I've tried a few different things and then lots of greens and getting all my nutrients in as well. Because it obviously makes a difference.
I miss craving stuff. I'm kind of jealous of that. Every now and then I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm craving like a type of food and I'll also treat myself. But for the most part, I'm just kind of like, okay, what am I going to not hate right now? But the breakfast is kind of an exception for me because I have to get protein in somehow. So like I always eat eggs in the morning and I love breakfast food, period. I don't like, I'm not a big fan of like oatmeal or anything like that or like fruity stuff. But
shocking.
Breakfast is like when I fucking shine in the kitchen. All right. Because I just discovered the Morningstar maple sausage patties.
Yeah, those are cute.
Are vegan. They're like literally like the best thing that I've had in all of quarantine, probably. So I'll have that with some like eggs and then this jalapeno salsa from Trader Joe's. Don't judge me. It's really fucking good.
Too late.
It's delicious. Like I was really surprised that it was corporate actually scam. Spicy.
It's okay. I've gone to Trader Joe's a couple times now that I live
I'm telling you, those vegan breakfast patties, they're so bomb because of all the spices in them, right?
Yeah, the maple ones specifically, though. Like I swear to God, like the regular ones are fine, but the maple ones really like that's next level shit. You know, like I don't know, that changed my life.
I used some of their crumbles before. I used to eat the chicken patties a lot because I love chicken. But I did the crumbles in like an enchilada, vegan enchilada. Well, not vegan. Well, vegan in Favi's terms. Like enchilada casserole. And it was actually really delicious.
Shots fired. Attack.
Fucking call out.
The way that Favi's eyes got so big, like he does not make this joke every episode.
I just think you're like questioning... like my entire being. I'm like the biggest advocate. I'm like
the egg cartons in your studio are also vegan.
No eggs here, honey. So
empty egg carton.
Okay, not one chicken was hurt in this.
Okay, well, let's get into the meat of this episode. Yeah. Okay. Oh, huh, Eva. So I see you.
I'm nasty. I didn't mean to do that. My bad. Good thing I'm not drinking. I was thinking of food, for the record, cochinos.
Mm.
Sure. Ooh, okay. We're going to take a little break, and then we will be right back. Can one of you make a little noise? Oh my gosh, Eva and Maite, have you heard of the Latinos Who Lunch ABCs of Latinidad coloring book?
Yes.
I have. Yes. Oh my God.
Isn't it so cool?
Yes. I always wanted one so bad. I wish that it would land in my mailbox somehow.
Well, you know what? Manifestation, baby. The secret. Oprah, you can go to latinoswholunch.com/coloring book and order yours today. Wow. That's latinoswholunch.com/coloring book and order your very own ABCs of Latinidad, designed by Giovanni Uranda. Ooh. In collaboration with yours truly. That's latinoswholunch.com/coloring book. And we're back. Oh my gosh, what a great break. Okay, let's get into it. So we have different categories, and we're going to start with me because this is my fucking show, okay?
The category is stupid bitch.
No, because my shit is all old shit because... It's hard for me to watch TV, y'all. Like, we mentioned this before. I talked to you about it too, Maite, because I'm really busy, and so I can only watch, like, 1 or 2 hours of TV a day. And like I said, I've been watching Survivor because I'm a fucking loser. So,
We love self-awareness.
I did watch a couple of the shows you suggested, Maite, but we're going to get into those with you. But during this quarantine, I have watched a few movies, and I realized that there's fat representation within these films. And they're kind of similar, which is, I mean, not interesting because fat people kind of always play the same roles. But the movies I want to discuss, and I know this is going to sound like a stretch, but it's Parasite, the award-winning film, and then Harry Potter. You better believe my cousin was quarantining with me. Shout out to Gabby, level up, and... she brought every single Harry Potter movie, and we watched one every day, or maybe two, when she was staying with me. I've only seen parts of the movie, but I had never completely seen the movie, The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Nice.
Which, I mean, I think we should start with that one because it blew my mind that America Ferrera was the fat person.
She was fat as hell, apparently.
In that movie, like the fat ass, when she was like so skinny.
Yeah.
Like she was like, if I saw her on the street, I'd be like, oh, that's a skinny person.
She was very average, I would say. Like she's
average,
just average,
I guess, yeah.
Because skinny is definitely a look, and she was average, but they like shame. That was that whole era of shame for her.
Yeah, and I mean, even in when she was an ugly Betty, she was the same size, but she wasn't big, you know what I mean? She was just like a normal person, but I guess on camera that reads different or whatever. But anyway, okay, listen, this movie is ridiculous. It was like Ben Ahena everywhere, but I did watch the whole thing. I don't know what those white girls' names are in the movie, but...
Blake they're Lee, all the one from Gilmore Girls, and I don't know who the other one was.
Oh yeah, look at that Latina representation, two white Tinas in one place. And so you know that girl from Gilmore Girls is like is Colombiana or something like that.
Alexis, yeah. Whatever.
Alexis Bledel.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she was cute in it. She was the one that went to Greece and met that little dude.
Was she?
And then
with
they
the bangs.
Fell in love. The bangs, yeah. And then America Ferrera was just like throwing bricks through white people's houses. So, you know, she was angry.
First,
but the thing.
First brick at Stonewall.
Shut the fuck up.
Uh-huh. Her and Shania Twain threw it at the same time. They were holding
the same brick. Two, three.
This is for white feminism. Okay, and then so yeah, and Gina Rodriguez was there like, that's right.
And J-Lo with her bangs. Okay, that's enough.
J-Lo came in a cage with kids dancing.
J-Lo with her adult bangs.
So, okay, first of all, can we talk about these magical pants in this movie? Because how the fuck?
Stretchy pants, I guess.
Stop it! Not stretchy pants. Like,
okay, they literally fit America, who is like a regular size, and then like La Muerte from the Loteria card, the white girl, Blake Lively. Like, it fit her bony ass body too, and I'm like, how is that possible? But that reminds me of like being a fat person, and people giving you like a shirt and being like, here, I got this for you. And I'm like, you know that I'm a double X, right? They're like, oh, it's large, but it's like really stretchy. It's going to be fine. And I'm like, do you know that I haven't fit into a large, an L size shirt since seventh grade? And even then it was a little tight on me.
I would have to
stretch it out for a couple days before I could wear it to school.
It's a crop top cardigan. Over here. Okay.
Okay. So, Triguerado 100% with that. Okay. That's what I got to say about that movie. Have y'all seen that movie?
I saw the Sisterhood of Traveling Pants like when it came out, you know, like a long ass time ago.
Yeah.
I did not watch it. I really blame Pat, my sister, shout out, for making me a hipster at a really young age. So I was very snobby with anything I consumed. And so I remember, I think I saw a clip of it on HBO because they used to air those. And I think there's like a 2 and maybe a 3. So I watched clips of part of those, but I was just like, SMH, this is corny as hell. But I know like the whole bit, that whole era of America Ferrera to me. And even Ugly Betty, the lady that played her in the Mexican version, her whole plot line in novellas was always like the insecure fat lady. I don't remember her name right now. I'm sure someone out there knows. But like that was her whole bit for Betty La Fea. And then that obviously carried over for Ugly Betty. And that's really how America got her like claim to fame after, I think it was after Traveling Pants.
Real Women Have Curves, though.
Yeah, I mean those were indie films, right? So she wasn't in superstardom until Ugly Betty.
Yeah.
But even Real Women Have Curves, I think we talked about it before. It's kind of the same again plot line. Like her whole bit has always been that she was a chunky actress or character until recently when she like I guess lost weight and now she can be other characters.
Now she's a superstore manager.
Okay, so I'm gonna attempt to tie these superstore. Yeah, exactly. Shout out to Walmart. So, just to give you, since you've never seen the movie Eva, so imagine three white girls in America Ferrera. They live in the same town where they filmed Get Out. You know, like where the rich family lives in Get Out.
Oh,
it looks
no.
just like that. So just imagine like New England, like fancy neighbor. It's basically the Gilmore Girls neighborhood too.
Nice.
And they live there and they all, you know, they're going to have a summer. And so they all go to different places and America, I'll just tell you America's story because the rest are tragic. So actually this one's the most tragic, but it's going to tie into the other movies.
Uh-oh.
So her parents got divorced and her dad is white. Her mom is Latina and a non-white Latina. And I have to be specific. And she goes and hangs out for the summer with her dad's new family and he's about to get married. And this was like a surprise to her. So as a teenager, that's really shocking. And her behavior, like any teenager that has just been told that her father, who has been neglecting her for a new family for some time now, she's pissed. And there is a part in the movie where she gets home late or something and the whole family, just like a Norman Rockwell painting, is eating dinner at the table.
Nice.
And she gets so mad that she grabs a brick and throws it through the window of the dining room. And so she becomes like the angry Latina, the irrational Latina. But of course, we're on her side. We know that her dad's a jerk. But actually, in the movie, it's also she's made to look a little bit, you know, she's made to look unstable and like, you know, not a great character. Until the end when they wrap it in a nice little bow and the dad decides that, you know, yeah, he's an asshole. And then everything's okay. Great. So how am I going to tie this into Parasite and Harry Potter, you ask? Very easy.
That's exactly what I'm asking.
I feel like there's a common theme in a lot of films with fat people. And we've talked about this before. Fat people are either the funny clowns...
Hong Kong.
Okay, there's sub-genres because it's either like the funny clown, the dumb clown, right? And then like the fat, disgusting and then like conniving evil person, right? And then just like the sloppy person.
There's like a desperate one too. There's a really desperate fat person as well.
Yes, like in Mean Girls where she's like, where that girl is so happy that Regina George punched her in the face, right? Like
or
that
like
kind of girl.
Norbit, where it's like, I need to have sex with you. She's kind of a combination of all those things, actually.
So it's always like this desperation for like food or attention or love or this or that. Like, oh, we're hungry for something, you know? And so when you think of the fat people in Harry Potter, there's not many of them. At Hogwarts, you mean shout out to Hagrid, he's bigger, you know, like but he's kind of looked as like this big doofus a lot of the times, right? Like he even talks kind of slow like the guy from Mice and Men or whatever. And then you have Moaning Myrtle's a skinny person, but they dress her like a fat person, and she's kind of this like
I never thought
silly...
of her as a fat person.
I've never. That's so surprising.
You know who the fat person was besides
Neville.
Neville. It was Neville.
Besides his
family members.
Yes,
the Dursleys. Yeah.
Yes, the Dursleys were the biggest fat joke of all in that series, and that was like their whole personalities, eating the cake. Everything.
Yep.
But you go on. This is your time.
No. That's where I was going with this. Is like those people are disgusting. Mm-hmm. And one of them, I think in The Prisoner of Azkaban, Dudley even turns into a pig, right? Like, there's
that's the first one.
Oh, was it the first one?
Yeah.
Sorry. Thank you so much. I haven't watched those devil movies in a long time. Dios reprende estos demonios de mi casa.
J.K. Rowling is a transphobe now, so we really don't
have
to.
She's a transphobe, and, like, she's notoriously fatphobe.
Yeah, she's pretty trash.
And racist as fuck.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one.
Cho Chang?
No, all of the... look at it. Look, there's so lack of so many characters in that thing.
Yeah.
But with Neville, I don't know if y'all remember. So I was in high school when the last film came out, and like me and Pat grew up like going to the book releases, going to every midnight screening. Like we were very, very into Harry Potter. And I remember it was in the last two, I guess, that Neville became like... He went from chubby, annoying kid, kind of like Ralph in The Simpsons, to like hot and thin, and he saved the day a little bit. And so it was like really interesting because I remember me and all my friends talking about it like, ooh, Neville's kind of cute now. Ooh, look at Neville. And I remember he had interviews about it and how he had bloomed into this handsome character. I don't know if y'all remember that. Happening at that time, but like that is the whole thing that I will get into a little bit later as well with like weight loss and beauty standards regarding that.
Yeah, and then that takes us to Parasite, which was a really great film. I saw it a couple times in theaters. I loved it. But then after I thought about it, I'm like, they would make the two freaks in the movie that worked at the house, like the guy that lived in the basement and then the maid, like a little bit chubbier, because pretty much everybody in that movie is in shape other than like the people. Yeah, like there's the mom there's the maid, right? So like the original maid of the house, and then there's the basement person, right, from the beginning. And I mean, they're not, I don't want to say they're fat, but they're not, compared to the couple that lives in the house and their family, like there's an obvious difference in their appearance and in their weight. And I think that's very interesting, even though the what's the director's name? I mean, he's a little chunkier too, but mm-hmm. it's like, I wonder how internalized those choices were when they were casting that. Because to me, the scariest thing, I mean, if I had a cook that was skinny in my house, that's terrifying. So,
no skinny legends here.
honey. So, you know, you kind of notice those little things as a fat person in movies. It's like, okay, like, so is this fat person going to be the joke or the miserable wretch or the villain? You know, because that's kind of what we're used to being cast as.
Or just and, like the, now I've been seeing this trope of like the best friend with great advice. Like, I'm thinking of High Fidelity a little bit. Which you'll talk about more later, but that's another trope I've been seeing where it's like we're side characters with great plot lines in theory, but you don't get them. They just get to.
You know what? Let's get right into it. So, Maite, you brought a few TV shows here, and since you mentioned High Fidelity, Eva, let's get into it because I actually watched this whole series, Maite. Thank you for turning me onto it because I actually really enjoyed it, and. Yeah, you want to talk about that one a little bit? And then I'll, because I have my thoughts on that character too.
Yeah, I'll talk about it a little bit. So, yeah, there is kind of like a starting to be like, you'll see like little characters here and there pop up, like little side characters pop up now that aren't completely, they're not problematic in the same way anymore or even at all in some cases. And it's been refreshing, but it's also like they're always so under, like they don't have as much screen time,
mm-hmm. and they're one dimensional.
Like, yeah, their stories are not as important, you know, and it's just like they're really kind of like they used to do gay characters, right? Like they're just kind of there to dress up the show a little bit. Like that's kind of how I saw that one, even though I did think that like. They tried a little bit to give Charisse a voice.
They did. They tried.
Yeah, they gave it a little bit of a time. But I definitely think, obviously, the main character played by Zoe Kravitz is going to get the most attention. But even, like, the secondary gay character got, like, some time to really explore, like, his whole journey and being queer and stuff. But Charisse, I feel like she was always kind of in the back, like, more so than the rest of them.
Yeah, and that show was a very about like romance and finding the right person for you and sex, and she was kind of like a neutered character. She had no, I think there was a glimpse of her sexuality here and there, but it was never expressed fully like the rest of the characters.
Right. I think I started liking that show at the beginning, and by the end I was over it because I actually found Zoe's character kind of boring. Which is why her friend stood out so much more because she was hilarious and complex and had a dream she was chasing after, you know? And I was like, I want to watch that show. I don't want to watch Zoe be this beautiful hipster woman that we already know she actually is in real life, right? Like, it's not that much different. And so by the end of it, I was like, is this over yet? I'm kind of like, I wanted more, right? And so, that happens so often, and I'm just like, it's the same with Shrill. Shrill season 2 came out. The best friend, we got to see a little bit more of her family, which I thought was really interesting, but at the same time, I was like, okay, why do you have to make these, like, really brilliant black women side characters that are fat women? Why can't they have more? Why can't they be the leads of these shows?
The lead on Shrill and her storyline for season 2 was the most fucking boring thing I've seen in my fucking life. Like, I could barely get through that show.
I didn't finish Shrill season 2. I was happy. Oh, wow, she's a person in this season. But it was just like, I don't know. It was just not interesting to me. But
I do like watching the fat sex scenes, though, because it's so rare to see that whenever she did have that, I was like, ooh, is this representation? Because it's so rare to see fat sex on TV. So I was definitely excited about that. But like the white feminism of it all was just draining.
Yeah, absolutely. There's one side character. I'm just going to mention it like mad briefly. But there's a show called Into the Dark. In the dark, it's like about a woman who is blind and she gets into a lot of shit. But nice. Her best friend is a Latina who is a lesbian and she's fat. And like they don't talk about her being fat. Like the whole first season, she pretty much has a girlfriend. But yeah, you know that what the reason that I bring it up is because in the second season, you see her in bed with another woman a few times. You know what I mean? Like she's never like. Her fatness doesn't get brought into question. She's also still a side character, but she does have, like, in the second season more so, like, her own storyline and stuff. And I really, really appreciated that character, especially with her being a Latina and stuff. She's basically America Ferrera in those other movies, but, like, maybe a little shorter. I don't know. But I love her. Anyways, that's the point.
Well, let's get into the other show you listed, the Beauty and the Baker. I only watched a few clips on YouTube of it, and
that's all you needed, to be honest.
Okay, tell me, because I'm like, this could be good, but it kind of seems like this was made for white people. So let me know what you think.
Yeah, I agree. So Baker and the Beauty was recently in the news mostly because
Baker and the Beauty
because like Latinx shows have a tendency to get canceled after one season, and this was not an exception. But like you said, yeah, you got a great read on it. Like this shit was made for white people. It's like a backwards Cinderella story, but with a Latino. Like the family was extremely like, I don't know, a really bad stereotype. Like there was one scene where they were panicking and they were setting a table and they were angry and they just had to dance in that moment because they had to dance away that
anger. Shut the fuck up right now. I will never watch this.
I was like, this is awful. Like, I honestly didn't watch the actual show. I skipped through and I watched Natalie's scenes. Natalie is the daughter and she's also fat, also Latina, also queer. Mm. And I just wanted to see how they were going to treat this girl. So I literally skipped through and watched every single one of her scenes only or any scene that she was in. And it was kind of another one of those situations where they never talked about her being fat. Like, her storyline was mostly around being queer and her family problems and stuff like that. But I was just like, damn, we lost another one. But yeah, you were right. Baker and the Beauty was very much made for the white.
Do we like that, though? Do we like that they approach fatness with either it being their entire identity or, like, not at all?
I would like to see some in between.
Right. Like, because I'm like, those extremes are so, like, not relatable.
Yeah. Right. One of them, I'm like, fuck. Like, I have to watch one show and then the other to just balance it off. I don't know.
Yeah. And then, like, thinking about, okay, if you were a fat girl working in a bakery with, is it a Cuban family or a Puerto Rican family?
I think, yeah, they're Caribbean. I can't remember right now. It's either Puerto Rican or Cuban, one or the other.
And okay, your weight is gonna be brought up. Like that's just the facts of life.
What
like,
you mean?
Like all the rest like of at the least family, a little like mm-hmm. all the rest of the family is thin, and she's the only fat one. And like never are they like critiquing what she's eating.
That would be every time you got to the table, that would be criticized.
There would be a side eye or like a look when you pick up a cookie or something.
Or that's enough. Yeah.
We all know that feeling.
Yeah, like the mom would have way more problems than just her daughter being gay. Like, let's be real.
Okay, never have I ever. I actually think the show looks good. Is it good?
I was so fucking excited about this show. You have no fucking idea.
Okay, what happened?
I liked it, I think. Is this the Mindy Kaling one?
Yeah, this is the Mindy Kaling one. This is the one. Okay. And I
explain
I
the premise.
I liked it too. So Never Have I Ever stars an Indian American woman or girl.
Young girl.
Really? A young girl. And like her going through life and trying to like
high
be
school
with dudes and being straight and stuff, yeah, and dealing with the loss of her father. It's a complicated and good story.
Mm-hmm, it is.
And all of that. And her two best friends, there's a is one of them is Asian and the other one is like black, and she's queer too, and all three of them are skinny. Most people in this entire show, honestly, like 99.9999, they're all skinny. But there's one character named Eric who is fat. And I went through every single episode of this entire first and only season of this show. And his entire screen time, every single time that he's on screen, is just him being made fun of for being fat. And that's it. There's nothing else. He's dumb and he's fat and that's it. And like, I caught some screenshots of it. There's a tweet floating around. And
come on, it's viral.
Literally, not viral, but like, it got attention, you know? And
three likes.
I'm one of them.
Yeah, it's just, it's really, really trash how they treated him. It was literally all about his eating habits and him being dumb. And apparently, because he's fat, he can't stay upright, like all these just horrific things. And like you said, this is a Mindy Kaling show. Mm-hmm. Mindy Kaling, who is like one of the only like women of color on screen that you see who's like not skinny, and this is what she spits out, you know?
But I think that's why, right? I think she's battled with her weight a lot because she has fluctuated. And with that, when there's that self-hate, they're going to highlight thin people because they just rather have that. And for them, because fat phobia is so accepted, they will just roll with it, right? And let it be the butt of the joke. And I see that over and over and over again because that's what we are to people. We're a joke, and fat phobia is not to be taken seriously. So even if it's radical and that it's run by, you know, an Asian woman, it has a queer character, it has a black character, it has, you know, multiple, like an entire family of Asian people.
All non-white leads.
Right.
Yeah,
like, it can be radical in so many other ways, but like, until we actually address that fat phobia is also a stem of white supremacy, then like, how radical are you when you're still shitting on someone else and making them the butt of the joke?
Yeah, it was just, like, the jokes weren't even funny. Like, we see fat phobia every single day that has at least this layer of, oh, we're not fat phobic, it's just a joke. But that one did not have that layer of,
like, no, it like so fully accepted it.
Yeah, it was just like, it was very honest about its fat phobia, like in a way that I haven't seen since like fucking movies in the 90s. It was really disgusting. But I think you're right. I think Mindy Kaling wasn't exactly a showrunner, right? She was an executive producer on this, so she probably was just like way up there, not super in control of the details. But I still think, like, how did that just go?
But if not, even then, so I'm still giving her some of the blame because she knows that, right? Hollywood knows this. And I, what's her name from, she originally was on Orange Is the New Black. She tweeted the other day, Danielle Brooks. She was like, let fat black women be the lead of films. Like, that tweet itself was like so bold. Like, you have never seen that. But it's because we're never supposed to be leads, and we're supposed to be the joke.
Latifah, the exception of the rule,
right? And she hasn't been allowed to be queer. She hasn't been allowed to be, you know,
she can only be one or two things,
exactly. Yeah. And it's just like, that's the only one you can think of, right? And so it's just frustrating. But yeah, it's still an enjoyable show, and it still has these fatphobic moments.
Yeah, it's one of those things that Netflix does. Sorry, Favi. Netflix does a lot of things really, really right, and then when it does fuck up, it fucks up as badly as it can. Like,
Well, you know who else fucking up is Hulu, because if you search the Mindy Project on Hulu, Mindy looks like a whole Caucasian woman in the picture for the show. They have lightened her skin so much.
Wow.
Like, it's shocking. I don't know if they changed it since the racial justice uprising, but I suggest that they do because it's obvious what's happening there. So when I saw Never Have I Ever and I'm like, oh, these women are actually women of color and not like super, super light-skinned Indian Americans, because they do the same thing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So with characters like that, just like they do with Latinos, one white Dino at a time. So
one white Dino at a time.
Let's dance. I love to dance. That's I'm how I angry express at the dinner my body. Table.
Time oh, to dance.
I'm angry. I have to dance right now.
Oh, I'm so angry. Oh, my God. Okay. And then Sex Education. Let's talk about that show. I actually really loved it.
Yeah, me too.
I thought it was beautiful, beautifully shot. I thought it was... I liked the cast. I just liked this, like, I don't know. It was kind of whimsical in a way. But I also realized that it was very, like, white. And so rich. This show takes place, now, but it has, like, John Hughes, like, 80s aesthetics. And then these people live in the UK, like in the country somewhere. So it's like all these weird, visually it doesn't really make sense, but it looks beautiful. And then the lady from X-Files is the mom in it. She's nice. The sex therapist.
Cool.
And she's amazing. And her son is going to this high school. And then, so he's been listening to sex therapy his whole life. He's a virgin. And he ends up giving sex advice to kids at a school. The mom ends up going and being kind of like a counselor character. Things get complicated. His best friend is this queer black kid who's really funny and a nerd. And there's not really many fat people until like the second season. I don't think there's any fat people that you see on screen in an entire ass high school. A fantasy high school in the middle of the fucking forest somewhere. There's no fat
people.
There's
gotta be one fat person.
There's gotta be
That's
at least
how it
one.
Is and everything. If we start to really look at it, like, everything is devoid of fat people. Like, you should see how extra casting happens here in Hollywood.
Mm.
I was usually the only one. But
wow.
Yeah.
And that's your privilege. And then we get to the second season, right?
Yeah, so the second season, I guess they wanted to continue the storyline of, God, what's his name?
Did you talk about this last time we recorded, or am I tripping?
No, we've just, Maitha just told us to watch it a long time ago.
Just kidding, okay.
Because if I had time to watch it, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, so Jackson, in the first season, his storyline is connected to the main, like, white girl character. But in the second season, since they don't want to just cut this dude out, because, like you said, they don't have a lot of people of color to kind of begin with, they kind of start up a storyline with him and a new character named Viv. And Viv is a fat black girl, and she's a nerd, and she's... I don't know if this is a trope yet, but I feel like it might be. She's, like, not, like, you know... unhappy. She's like not like the bubbliest person, you know. She's like very dedicated to some shit, and she's not, I don't know. I feel like I get that vibe sometimes, like the Baker and the Beauty girl, like she wasn't like, she was always very serious.
Are they teenagers?
Yeah, they're
teenagers. Yeah,
that's
and
probably
so,
why
so,
they're trying to go with the like angsty teen
the
vibe.
Angsty teen. Maybe.
Yeah, so maybe. So Jackson is a swimmer, and he's like really fit and hot.
Same.
And right. And
all
so, yeah. And so I'm really hot right now because I turned the air off and
Same.
I'm in a closet, but.
And I'm about to throw a fit, so.
But it's interesting because there is a lot of his parents are two women. A lesbian couple, and they're like stage moms. And so he has this like big white lady mom and then his black lady mom. And then. Yeah, and then the other what's the character's name? The fat woman
Viv.
In the show? And then Viv is like, mathlete, like super nerd on the trivia team, like compulsively obsessive to the point where she's like a Vulcan, like she has no personality. She's just like smart, smart, smart. But she is so attracted to this Jackson character that she's like, she's trying to be like a normal, and I'm doing that in quotes, person to like get his attention kind of thing.
Well, at first she enlists Jackson to try to get him to hook her up with another guy.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. She's trying to hook up with that
the nerd
that in Game of Thrones that like was very attached to his mother. I won't specify.
But I mean, it's the same thing again. It's like a very, I feel like you did see some emotion from that character, but it was, I don't know. They could have gone a little bit deeper, but who knows? I think they're going to come out with a season 3. Okay, so let's move on to Drop Dead Diva. You also have that on the list. That's a show from, what, like 2009 or something?
Yeah, it lasted from 2009 to 2014. I don't know how the fuck they got so many seasons. I was shook when I was, like, after every season, I was like, oh, this is probably the last one. And then it just kept going. It was crazy.
Where'd you watch it?
I watched it on Stars. I got one of them cute little 7-day trials.
Nice.
And I binged it.
No,
it
you took didn't. A long ass time. That's impressive. 6 seasons in like 7 days.
It was just in the background 24/7. Obviously, like, I paid more attention to the first season than anything else. It's one of those procedurals. So, like, every episode has its own kind of story.
Okay.
It does have an overarching plot, but, like, you can really can just kind of tune in for an episode if you want to.
What's the tell me about the show. What is it about?
So, basically, there's a model, a white, blonde, gorgeous model or whatever, who is driving, and she's like, you know, got this like life where she's up and coming, and she's gonna like, she has so much ahead of her, and she gets into a car accident and she dies.
Oh my god.
And she goes up to like the checking in point, I guess, for whether she goes to heaven or hell. And the dude is like, so you kind of evened out. Like, you're like, you didn't do that. You didn't do bad stuff. You didn't do anything good either, though.
That's silly.
She's like, you're like in the middle place, you know, middle place, like the good place. But, so she is like, no, I'm not done. I don't want to die. Blah, 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 blah. She, you know, she's stubborn about it, as white women are. And she presses the return key on his magical computer, and she goes back to Earth. But because of the mechanics of how dying works, I guess, she goes into another person's body who dies in that moment. And the person who died in that moment was an older, like, fat woman who's a lawyer and, like, super smart. Basically, like, almost the opposite of her. All right, at least that's what they're trying to say. And
of course.
Yeah, so the premise of the show is that she retains all of that woman, the lawyer's intelligence, because that lies in the brain, but she doesn't have her memories because that lies in the soul or whatever. So she keeps her memories, but she has that woman's intelligence or whatever. So that,
wow.
There's 6 seasons of that, basically. And her, like, having to figure out how to live her life like this now. And I was like, this is going to be awful. You know, when I heard the premise and when I first saw it. But pretty much from the get-go, like, she has to learn, like, what fat phobia is, because she doesn't even know what that is at this point in her life, right? Like, she's never experienced it. She's never realized that she is fat phobic herself, because she doesn't have to. And so the first episode is a lot of her seeing how people look at her differently, seeing like how she's treated differently, people not holding doors and shit like that. Like, it's just a whole different experience, and she's literally having that put in her face in this first episode. And then even this, once you move on to the second episode, it's her, like, because in her mind she's like, I'm a skinny person, like, as long as I diet and count calories and don't eat these things, like, I'll go back to being skinny and my life will be normal again. But she realizes in the second episode, like, this body is different from that other body. Like, they don't work the same. It doesn't just function that way. And it's kind of got a little bit of flag, I'm not gonna lie. And I see why, because she's like in these horrendous moods, and she's really mood swingy, and she doesn't know why she's feeling like shit. And like, her assistant is like, oh, well, whenever you feel like shit, you just have this cheese whiz and you feel better. And like, so she like sprays some into her mouth, and she does. She immediately feels
no,
better.
Not cheese whiz.
Cheese whiz.
Yikes.
And but I guess the point that they're trying to get across is that her, you know, low key starving herself to lose weight is just not gonna work in this body. Like, it's just not gonna happen for you, girl. And I guess that was her way of like setting up the premise for the rest of the series, that she's not just gonna lose weight and make her life the same again, you know.
Mm.
But also in the first season, you see like her having to go from not just realizing like I'm fat phobic and I'm experiencing fat phobia from other people. She also has to like fight for someone else because she's a lawyer. So she has to fight against like the discrimination of a woman who gets fired because she gained weight and she works in like the service industry. So she has to like learn to fight for other people who are fat. And then they also like tackle the fad diet industry, and she goes against all of this through the lawyer lens, right? And then eventually she goes through it herself. She fights for herself with this clothing company that won't sell anything above a size 5. And the best part that I think, Favi, if you ever watch the show that you'll love, is that Miss Judge Summers is played by the one and only Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh my god.
What a cutie patootie. I'm Rosie O'Donnell. I'm America's sweetheart.
Exactly. Wow. So she's in it too, and eventually...
Oh, Margaret Cho is her assistant, right?
Yeah.
Oh, they got all the fat legends in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like... Yeah, they went pretty hard in the first season, especially. After that, it kind of just becomes like a show like no, like all the others, which I don't know if I was... I guess I was kind of fine with, right? Like, you can't just harp on about, like, the same issues over and over.
Right.
But, yeah, they do... A lot of it is based around her trying to figure out... It's like a love story where she's trying to figure out if she can get back with her boyfriend that she was with when she was thin or not. And
so, do you think that... It sounds like it's a successful portrayal of a fat person on television. What do you think?
I loved watching it, if I'm being honest. I liked the show a lot. It was very white. That's probably one of my bigger issues with it. But yeah, it was pretty cool, at least the first season, to see a lot of these things acknowledged, right? Like a lot of the stuff being said out loud to, like, you know, people being like, you know, you treat fat people badly, like, that's a thing. I don't know. I was really happy that I got to, that show existed. I had never even heard of it, you know?
Yeah, I had heard of it. I feel like I don't like that initial, like, shallow how you have to be in this person's body to understand. Like, I hate that concept, but it sounds like they weren't, especially if you got, like, Margaret Cho involved, like, it sounds like they were a lot more intentional with creating a fat narrative. And, like, now it's making me think, was it one of the first shows that had, like, a known fat lead and was about her identity and fatness?
I can't even think of
anything else. Yeah. Like, that might be it. Like, obviously, we had figures like Oprah and other people who were, like, on the scene and battling with their fat, with their fatness publicly. But, like, as far as a TV show goes, like, I can't think of anything else. And maybe that's just me being a young-ass bitch, but... yeah, I think that's really important, and it made me want to watch it.
Yeah, I think especially for, like, women who are more feminine than me, because I'm not very feminine, so there was a lot of things in it that I didn't relate to, because she was fighting, like, as well as everything else. She was fighting her want to be feminine, her want to, like, wear certain clothes, and, like, she was fighting for that ability to be able to do that stuff. And I was just like, I don't have to go through that. I don't want to be, like, girly. But, like, for people who, like, are fat and have to deal with that shit, like, I feel for them. And they definitely bring it up and all the way throughout the series.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, I think what we're going to do is give the listeners a special treat, because the conversation is so good. And Eva... We still have to talk about social media and get into listener questions. So let's split this up into two episodes. Double the fun. Okay?
More to love is what this is.
Oh, more to love. Ew. Oh, I hear when people say that shit. Disgusting. Okay. So we're going to stop here. This is part one. So fat, so brave. What is this?
COVID charged.
COVID charged. Yeah. So we'll come back next week and continue the conversation with Maite and Eva. All right. Does anybody want to say anything else before we sign off?
Stay fat.
Stay fat. That was an accident.
Come on. Stay fat, America. As always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. Please leave your reviews on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. 5 stars.
Solamente.
5 stars only.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And
visibility leads to representation, and representation is essential.
Hey!
Someone's a listener.
Today's guests are Eva Regin and Maite Sosa. Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Maite Sosa and Eva Regin. Why did I say that twice? I don't know. Okay, the music you're listening to now is by the band Balloon. I'm Favi Fav.
And I'm Maite.
And I'm Eva.
Bye.
Stay fat.